Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Paging Marilyn in Lolo. No, we get some great phone calls all across Montana. But a little over a month ago, we had a phone call from Marilyn in Lolo, and it was at the very end of the show. So unfortunately, it was like a quick 30-second, 60-second conversation. And I can't remember if I asked her about it on air or if I asked her about it after the show wrapped up and we kept the conversation going. But I said, hey, Marilyn, wasn't it you that was telling me about how the residents of Lolo, Montana wanted to secede? They wanted to get the heck out of Missoula County, you know, because now, I mean, it used to be that, yeah, the Missoula City Council was far left and raising your taxes and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. But the Missoula County Commission back in the day had some, you know, decent commissioners. Now the Missoula County Commission is far left, crazy as well. And you know, you're seeing it with your taxes and everything else. In fact, if you live in Missoula, and we heard from City Council Member Sandy Vasica, collectively, the city and the county have just increased your taxes another 20%. And then they want to raise your sewer and your water rates on top of that. But anyway, so there's several obvious reasons why people in Lolo, Montana would want to be a part of Ravalli County, Montana, instead of Missoula County, Montana. So I posted a story on our Montana Talks website with this question. Is it about time for Lolo, Montana to secede from Missoula County? There are locals in Lolo that are not that loco about being a part of Missoula County anymore. Well, now, this story just got filed by KPAX TV, and thanks to one of our listeners, Brian in Billings, for flagging it for me here. Sealy Swan Valley residents start petition seeking secession from Missoula County. Missoula County is the fourth largest county in the state of Montana. It spans approximately 2,600 square miles from Condon to Evero, Lolo, and almost to Alberton. Plus, as of the 2020 census, there are approximately 118,000 people living in Missoula County. It's got to be even more than that now, right? Way more. However, some individuals in the Sealy Swan Valley think that their rural area's time in Missoula County is up, and they've started a petition to secede. And I think the KPAX story even includes a hyperlink to that petition. So those of you in the Sealy Swan, or Lolo for that matter, could sign on to that petition as well. So anyway, yeah, very interesting to see that news update. If you go to our Montana Talks website from back on August 14th, you can also read about a bill that was introduced in the Montana legislature that would allow for those residents to do just that, withdraw from Missoula County. All right, we got the phone lines open for you. Hey, the paging system works. I thought the pager might blow up in my face, but the paging system worked. Marilyn and Lolo is on the phone lines. We'll get to her right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, like I told John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, who joined us on the show yesterday, it's the gift that keeps giving all year long, Clark. I was almost going to start the show this morning by talking about the breaking news that just came out. More Hezbollah terrorist communication devices have exploded across Lebanon. Yeah, that was the story we first told you about yesterday when John Jackson was with us about brilliant operation. And most likely the Israeli intelligence was behind this operation, even though at least last I heard they weren't speaking about this publicly, but a brilliant operation. The Hezbollah terrorist leader, was afraid that if they used smartphones to communicate with their fellow terrorists, that the Israelis would be able to track them on their smartphones. So he bought a bunch of pagers from some European company, some Eastern European company, and somebody made sure that all those pagers had explosives in them and remote detonated every, well, not every single one of them, because more blew up today, blew up a whole bunch of them yesterday. And so you had terrorists, they were blowing up in their face. They were blowing up in their pocket. Some of these got their Hezbollah terrorists may now have to update their gender pronouns on LinkedIn because they just had a gender transition surgery that apparently took place yesterday morning. So, anyway, but that's the update. Breaking news from Fox News that more of these communication devices have exploded across Lebanon. Is the update today. So huge, huge story. Let's see. It just came out. I started the show by saying paging Marilyn and Lolo. And thankfully, Marilyn is on the phone lines. Marilyn, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. So I have a lot to say on this. Especially, I've been talking to businesses in Lolo and they are all for it. They have given me personal business cards to start a petition, and I went to the Pachyderm meeting in Stephenville in Ravalli County and talked to the commissioner there. And, of course, you know, he reached his hand over his head, way over his head, and said, well, it would be a paperwork stack that high to fight through. And, yeah, so Sealy and other counties, yeah, I welcome them to join in. I've got a map of the other counties, you know, the other cities that surround, that are in Missoula County, and I think we all need to come together and leave Missoula County. So we need to get Lynn Hellegard reelected because she's the one that presented the original bill last session, and so we need to get her reelected. And people from Florence are saying, yeah, they would love that buffer between you know, them and Missoula. They love Lolo to come in. So, and I've been fighting the fight of, I've lived here up on the hill here for 30 years, and the roads up here are terrible. And almost every Lolo community meeting once a month, I'm complaining about the roads and why it seems like every place else around here is getting paved, but not us up here on the hill. But yet they've got money for all these different grants, for all these different social programs. And now we hear another million, couple million, is it, for the Johnson Street? So they've got money where they want to put the money, but not for infrastructure. And Lolo needs water and sewer upgrade. It's a mess down here.
Yeah.
And they don't care. But we send our tax dollars in. Yes, we do.
You pay, so you end up paying some of the worst county taxes in the state, if not the worst county taxes in the state, because you fall within the very liberal-dominated Missoula County now. So it's, you fall under mob rule. And yet you're not even getting the services for it. They've got all the money in the world for the out-of-state criminal transients that want to flood into the city and take advantage of the people and leave their trash and their feces and their drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. But they don't have money to pave your roads. It's so symbolic of what's taking place in Washington, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, and I got same staff at the last Lolo meeting. He came up and was talking to us, and afterwards he wanted my email so that he could send me a packet of information on how to do the RFID. It was 17 pages. And, oh, it'll probably, you know, after you fill that out and go through all these 9 steps and everything, it'll probably be about 5 years. And then the cost of the asphalt will be, you know, triple what it is now. And it's just, and, you know, you're thinking, well, where's all the tax money that we've already paid? Where is it? Where'd it go? It
yeah.
was all this social program.
Yeah, woke DEI nonsense, out-of-state transients. That's what they do with your, and then you can't even use the very parks that you pay for in your taxes because they're being overrun by transients. And I mean, fortunately, there's great leaders like Sandy Vasica who are speaking out on this stuff. But yeah, here's my thoughts on this is look at what East Helena did. Look at what Lockwood did. Now, it's schools versus towns, dealing with school districts versus counties and cities and towns, et cetera. But East Helena and Lockwood said, hey, we don't want to be a part of this big behemoth school district. We want to have our own school district. And look at how well that's been going for East Helena, as I understand it. Look at how well it's going for Lockwood and the pride of the Lockwood, folks. It's working out very well. So in a similar concept, look, if you're tired of being a part of this big behemoth that's taking all your tax dollars and not returning it in the form of services, yeah, why not break apart from, just like East Helena and Lockwood broke apart from those bigger school districts and started, why not break apart from Missoula County and be a part of Ravalli County or Powell County or Lake County, et cetera. Hey, Marilyn, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Quick break. We got phone lines open for you as well. 294-0970.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970. This was interesting reading this story about from KPAX about Sealy Swan Valley residents starting this petition to try to secede from Missoula County. As per Montana state law, secession from a county can happen in multiple ways. One would be joining a neighboring county. It's interesting. They chatted with Chris Lounsbury, the Missoula County Chief Administration Officer. And what he says is under existing state law in Montana right now, we mentioned proposed legislation by Representative Lynn Helligard out of Missoula that would make it, I think, even easier for these towns to get out of Missoula County. Under existing law, he says you need a petition signed by the residents in that area. That petition is presented to both boards of county commissioners who place it on the ballot. Both the receiving county and the sending county have to vote yes. Wouldn't that be interesting? Lolo and, let's say Lolo and, another town, let's say Lolo and Condon, they pass petitions to withdraw from Missoula County. And under existing law, you would have to get permission, or at least using this one scenario here, you would have to get permission from Missoula County voters to leave Missoula. Man, would the people of Missoula let them flee? Or would they say, no, you're stuck here. We won't let you leave. We won't give you the freedom to become part of another county. You must pay our demandingly high taxes. You must pay for the parks for our transients. That could be interesting. I got some messages that have come in. A couple that just came in, I threw out a question. We got Governor Greg Gianforte calling in here in the second half of the show. What are some topics you would like to talk about? Glenda in Billings has a great topic. She says, ask Governor Gianforte about CI 126 that would change our elections, this whole open primary ballot initiative. She says it's being promoted a lot on a TV ad. Glenda says it is not good for our state. Yeah, that would be interesting to get the governor's take on that one. Great idea. Eric from Winifred sent us a message after the show yesterday. He says, Aaron, we got to start talking specifics and more about these Supreme Court candidates. And one of them that he is referencing here, this is the message from Eric in Winifred. He says this. This left-wing Supreme Court candidate, Bidegary, I think she's the one that is running against one of the sons of Montana, Judge Dan Wilson. Judge Dan Wilson is this great judge out of the Flathead County who stood up to these lockdowns and these mandates back in 2020 with the prior regime. But he says this about Bidegary. Eric and Winifred said she is further left than even the current court. She shut down the Black Butte copper mine after a five-year DEQ study to issue the permit. She sided with the environmental groups to pull the permit. She was then overturned 5-2 by our current environmental left Supreme Court. That's how far out there she is. That's what Eric and Winifred had to say. And Eric, I appreciate you sharing that because, you know, you're right. We haven't heard that much about her. She certainly hasn't been willing to pop in here and take questions from callers like Judge Dan Wilson has. So, no, that's interesting info because we really haven't heard much about her other than knowing that she is far left and is being funded by out-of-state special interest groups, especially the radical abortion crowd and the ACLU, et cetera. Let's see. Let's get into the phone lines here. Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Aaron, I don't know if you've had the gal from public instruction on. Elsie, I think her name is.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. But, yeah, no. Why? What's up?
Well, I heard her speak the other day, back a while here anyway. And it seems to me that she has an awful lot of money, a lot of money, and it seems like she doesn't even know where to spend it. You know, and years ago, they used to have the stuff taken from the logging industry. You know, they paid a lot of a high percentage of, you know, so we didn't have to pay it on the property tax. Well, they took that away, and now it's just, you know, we used to get just pittance of it. Now, you know, they keep hitting us up for more money. It seems like Elsie's got a lot of money there, you know, when she was talking about charter schools and, you know, my daughter sends her children to, non-public schools, but I don't think she gets near enough where they should be giving her a lot of money. So, I mean, you know, what happened to the logging industry? You're talking about the Swan down there. They're going out of business again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably they won't make it.
And what has Missoula County Commissioners done to speak up for those logging families? Squat, right? What have they done? If anything, the political leadership in Missoula has been harming those communities, not just by taking more in their taxes, but by propping up all these environmental groups that attack our timber communities like those in the Sealy Swan. No, Chris, thanks for the call. Yeah, you bring up an interesting point that basically our schools got all this federal COVID money, so much COVID money that I think they're still trying to spend it all, right? And so, yeah, you raise a good point, which is like, man, it's like here we, the taxpayers, have to pay so much for schools and property taxes, but yet we've got all this federal money that still hasn't been entirely spent. Now, part of the challenge there is that it comes with any federal money comes with all these strings attached and different timelines and things like that. Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Skip in Hamilton. Skip, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And I've been listening since Marilyn called, and you covered a lot of bases since then, including most of the things that Marilyn had left out, having to do with the hoops that have to be jumped through in order to switch counties if you're a town. And Sealy Lake, of course, is trying to do the same. There was a really good news broadcast on one of the Alphabet channels, just I believe it was early last night, explaining all of the criteria that had to go through. So, and I can sure understand why they would want to do that. But you brought up the point that, you know, I think Missoula County would vote to let them go. Personally, I don't think they would.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's like Washington. It's so analogous, isn't it, to Washington State? And, you know, you've got people in Oregon and Washington that want to secede from those states and be part of a greater Idaho. And the same thing is happening here. You got people in Lolo and Condon that don't want to be a part of Missoula County. And so, but Washington, look at what Washington State has been doing. If you try to leave Washington State, they try to force you to pay an exit tax. They want to punish you for fleeing their state.
Well, and by the way, that goes all the way back to, I'm going to say, 1941, when Northern California and Southern Oregon got together and they had a whole new state that was all ready to go onto the floor of Congress. And it was the day that Pearl Harbor got bombed, and they could never get that state approved. maybe remember that little part of history. But meanwhile, you brought up a couple of things since Maryland's call that was a different subject having to do with our Supreme Court Justice Wilson, and that is a candidate for Supreme Court. But please also give some kudos to Corey Swanson, who's running for Chief Justice. Both men are, it's amazing that they're stepping up to the plate, and I hope the electorate learns about them so that we can try to get them across the line, because there's going to be a hell of a lot of money spent by out-of-state groups trying to get the liberal-thinking judges elected into those two slots.
That's what they're using, as especially as Montana has solidified further as a red state. That's why they are doing everything they can. They're bringing in all this dark money from out of state to prop up their left-wing judicial candidates, because they are trying to use the judiciary and the Supreme Court to keep their radical left-wing agenda in place and actually possibly make it even worse and go completely against the will of the people and the will of the elected legislators and the elected governor and do it through deceptive practices. By the way, speaking of red states, there was data that recently came out here from the Associated Press did a story about chronic absenteeism. We had a Chris in Columbia Falls talked about schools, and there was a story that came out that showed data from over 40 states shows chronic absenteeism is still far above pre-pandemic levels. So basically showed the continued problems that our country is facing, our kids are facing as a result of the absurd COVID lockdowns and shutdowns and everything like that. But our friend Paul Mushaven on the country station down the hall from our Montana Talks studios, he did a story on our Montana Talks website about this. And he pointed out how if you look at this data, everybody's behind because of these stupid COVID lockdowns and mandates. But the kids in the red states are doing better than the kids in the blue states, according to this data, which is not surprising, is it? It's not surprising at all. And so it's just another reminder of how, you know, red states and having, you know, governors like Greg Gianforte and the legislature that we've had these past couple of sessions, how important that is. It's not just important for your pocketbook because of the property tax rebates you got, because of the income tax rebates you got, because of the lower tax rates now that we have in Montana. In our economy, it's important for your kids and our kids because of people like Elsie Arnson standing up to some of these AA school districts at the time and just to the lockdowners and to the, you know, the MFPE, which was slapping teachers in the face with math, because they stood up. Our kids are doing better than kids in other states.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The 2024 Montana Angus Tour is officially underway here today, based out of Lewistown. And while the wind is blowing and the rain is falling down, we will not cuss this good weather. We are spending the day in the beautiful Judith Basin, and the wind has never blown here a day in its life. It just decided to blow here today. I hope you hear the humor in my voice, but it is a great day of looking at some high-quality cattle. We are stopping at Goggler Angus out in Judith Gap, Car Angus over in Hobson, along with Stevenson's Diamond Dot, also the Little Belt Classic, Mickelson and Frank Angus families, and the feedlot there, Judith Basin County Farms. And for Kevin Arnson, who just became the president of the Montana Angus Association, and his family's also hosting a tour stop tomorrow, it's one heck of an opportunity to showcase high-quality cattle to individuals from across the nation and the world.
We got some good ranches on board, good host town in Lewistown, and just jump on buses and go look at cattle, see some new scenery if you haven't been here. And
there's a lot of folks that have not been here. Several European cattle producers and South American producers joining us this week in Lewistown. And an update on yesterday's golf tournament on the Angus Tour. Kevin Arnson, Rick Burgum, and Dan Dykeman and myself won the tournament. I'm Lane Nordlund.
John Lane.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is great. I checked in with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte during the break, and he's able to stick with us for the rest of the hour. So, yeah, if you want to call in, jump in on the conversation after we get things going here for a few minutes, give us a ring, and you'll be in the queue. 406-294-0970. Governor, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
Aaron, it's good to be with you.
Yeah. Well, I know you got some fun stuff to talk about. I always have a list of things that I want to talk about. But it, as usual, our listeners always have the best questions and the best topics to get to. Glenda in Billings wanted to know, she sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. She wanted to get your take on these proposed ballot initiatives, especially the ballot initiatives like CI-126, where they're basically trying to change our primary elections, and it essentially would lead to these rank choice voting deals. To me, it's rank. It's in the name, but what's your take on these?
Yeah, I'm voting no on the rank choice voting. Here's why. Basically, this would do away with partisan primaries. It would be a jungle primary with the top four vote getters going on to the general election. Here's Alaska tried this. Now they're trying to get rid of it. You end up with ridiculous results. Here's what could happen. Let's say four people proceed to the general election. Three of them are Republicans. One's a Democrat. Well, the Republican vote gets split three ways, and the Democrat gets elected.
And you effectively lose the representation of the will of the people because of some crazy election system. I also believe that it would lead to more power of special interest groups who would then interfere in this crazy type of primary election system. And then, you know, CI-128, I know we've already heard your position on that. And this is a radical abortion initiative using very deceptive language. But I thought what was very interesting, the Montana Family Foundation reported on a legal analysis conducted by former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson. And it's very interesting because he made the point that why is this supposedly about women, but yet they don't have women specifically mentioned? They don't use gender specific language in this abortion measure. And it basically leads us all to believe that this is about much more than even just a radical abortion initiative.
Well, you're right. It's poorly worded. It's misleading. It says that once a baby reaches viability, you need someone in the medical profession to approve the abortion. But the way it's worded, it could be the secretary of Planned Parenthood who authorizes the abortion for any reason. And it's to put something in the Montana Constitution that would authorize abortion up through and including the moment of birth is just not the right thing. I believe life is precious. It should be protected. Reasonable people can disagree on when you draw the line, but when the baby is viable, we should not be performing abortions.
You know, your race in particular, you know, it's kind of funny because we've got the most important U.S. Senate race in the country, obviously the presidential race. We've got these critical Supreme Court elections in Montana. So, but your race, it looks like you have a very comfortable lead, almost a 20-point lead. In fact, your opponent, the gun control candidate, Ryan Bussey, is polling even worse than Kamala Harris, according to the AARP. I saw that he finally caved and finally released his tax returns, and now a debate is scheduled. Did you find anything interesting from what was released in his tax returns? I thought it wasn't very specific information, because we know he was paid by the state of California to testify in support of their gun grab there. So I wonder if either the AP didn't report a lot of the details or if he left it deliberately vague.
Well, I'm glad he finally got on the transparency train. I mean, this has been standard stakes for every candidate for governor. I mean, Brian Schweitzer released his tax returns. Steve Bullock, Mike Cooney. I've released 17 years. It's part of being in the public square. Why he refused initially to release that information is not clear. But, Aaron, let's be clear. I'm running on my record. I promised the people of Montana two things, more good-paying jobs and protect our way of life. I was pleased over Labor Day to report that Montana is one of only two states in the country now where wage growth over the last 4 years has outpaced inflation. That's good news for Montana workers. Our pro-jobs, pro-family, pro-business policies are working. We have more people at work in Montana than ever before, and we've been able to protect our constitutional rights, including our Second Amendment. I have an A rating from the NRA. My opponent has an F rating from the NRA. The contrast could not be starker.
Yeah, and imagine how much better our economy would be if we didn't have these national economic headwinds from inflation and from the radical Green New Deal policies of Kamala Harris and John Tester that's threatening our mining industry and more. Well, lots to talk about with Governor Greg Gianforte. Let's sneak in a phone call here. If you got a quick question or comment, Bill in Belgrade, first up with the governor. Bill, what's your thoughts?
All right, thank you. I just want to make this really short because I'm working right now, which I do thank the state of Montana providing me that. Governor, I have a question in regards to youth and adult mental health in the state of Montana. We've seen an increase in suicides in Belgrade and in Bozeman. What are your plans for correcting this issue, or do you have any?
All right. Hey, thanks for the question. Yeah, Governor, your predecessor really eliminated a lot of mental health services. So your thoughts on that question?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One is I agree with the caller. This is why we made a historic investment in behavioral health services, $300 million out of our last surplus. That's going to not only rebuild Warm Springs, which we need for acute care, but it's also going to bring back community-based mental health. We've entered into contracts with psychiatric providers to put services in our county detention centers, into our schools, make them available to our farmers and ranchers. But I think there's more we need to do. And we've been looking very closely. I think one of the things that's driving, I had a behavioral health roundtable up in Chester here last month. We had the superintendent of schools, some teachers, some local medical providers, and the only common thread in the increase in depression and suicidal thoughts was social media.
Mm.
This is why I have pushed to make our schools cell-free environments, cell phone-free environments. Many schools are taking up the mantle. But in addition, I think we need to look at how we might give parents more control over social media that their minor children are using. These social media platforms are addictive. They suck people in, and they result in depression, which can lead to suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, I listened to a great audiobook while I was traveling recently. Abigail Schreier has a book called Bad Therapy, which, anyway, we could spend an hour or two talking about that one in particular. But, yeah, it was interesting. Some of the schools were pushing back. I saw one, I think maybe it was in Missoula or where it was at, but they were pushing back. Well, we don't know if this is something we can accomplish with regard to a cell phone-free school. And I'm like, well, you guys have no problem pushing mask mandates and shutting down schools, but, oh, this is going to be too hard.
Aaron, I was up in Superior, and they adopted a cell phone policy in 2005, and it's very simple. They said, we don't have a ban, we have a plan. And I was so proud of what they've done. They said, here's the plan. You can turn your phone off and put it in your locker. You can turn your phone off and stick it in your backpack, or you can turn it off and give it to the teacher. You have three choices. You pick one.
Pick
and
one.
I'll tell you, the students said, listen, my phone buzzes 200 times a day. If it's in my pocket, I can't resist it. I have to look at it. I am so thankful that my school adopted this plan for cell phones so I can focus on learning in the classroom.
That's why I like going camping in places that don't have cell phone coverage, because it's like, you just got to get away from that. Or like later today, I'm going to put the phone in the other room, because it's just like, enough of the nonstop notifications. All right, Governor, hold that thought. I got another notification here. No, this is a good one, though. Richard in Belgrade, next up on the phone lines. And then we'll try to get to the other callers on the line as well. Plus, I know the governor wants to talk about the upcoming Governor's Conference on Aging, a youth hunting story contest, a chance for you to nominate a veteran for the Montana Governor's Veteran Commendation. So a lot to talk about.
Pretty low.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll try to get to every caller on the phone lines here. So it's a bit of a lightning round with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. If you got a quick question or comment, let's go next to Richard in Belgrade. Richard, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it just kind of hit me as, you know, mentioning the blended stuff, and I was thinking about the primaries that the Democrats, they just, you know, decided on their own they could redo their primary dates. I'm wondering if we went to a caucus as a party, how that would affect that.
Oh, interesting. All right. Good question. Governor, I can't remember, what was it, 2008, I think, the Montana GOP did a caucus event, still had the primary, but did a caucus event. So we've seen it tested to a certain extent.
Yeah, and it'd be up to building a consensus around it. Many states use them successfully. I just think each party should pick their candidate, and then they should run against each other in the general election. And this ballot initiative that's going to be on the ballot would do away with that. And it would just be a jungle primary. And you don't know what you're going to get out. You could end up with a general election candidate winning with 30% of the vote. That's not the will of the people.
Yeah, I like the idea of at the general election, that if a candidate does not get 50% of the vote, that then they have a runoff. But even this ballot initiative does not specifically do that. It is very deceptively written, and hopefully it raises a lot of red flags for others out there as well. Dan in Kalispell, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, I was. My wife and I love to listen to Governor Gianforte whenever he comes on your show, and it crossed my mind that during the Reagan administration, they did that once a week to have a sit down, and he let everybody know what's going on. And I thought that it'd be great if Governor Gianforte could take a few minutes out of his time once a week and do that for the public.
Well, once a week. So you as a listener would like once a week. Well, that's good to hear, because Governor, I know we enjoy it. You come on often. We appreciate it. Your thoughts.
Yeah, so I love getting on and hearing from people directly, just like you were calling in now. I do about 5 radio broadcasts a week. I'm often on KGEZ up there in the Flathead, as well as B Broadcasting. I'm on with Aaron once a month, of course, statewide. And I take any opportunity I can to hear from the people, as well as get into all 56 counties. I'm typically up in the Flathead once a month for official business. I don't know if Aaron would put up with me once a week.
I think we could figure it out, or maybe you pre-record a weekly address. I don't know, but the back and forth, that's where the fun is, the phone calls and everything. I agree. Let's see, sneak in one more call here. Roger in Billings. Roger, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, you know, it sounds kind of like a complaint, because I don't know what really Mr. Gianforte could do about it, but I live in a mobile home. I'm a retired veteran, ex-law enforcement, and I decided when I retired that buying a mobile home would be a good way to exist on Social Security.
Yeah.
And now myself and many other mobile homeowners have found that You know, we don't own the land that the mobile home's sitting on, and a big corporation has bought all of these, and they're raising the rent every year the Social Security increases to about the same amount. Last year, I had a net increase from Social Security of $5.
And then your inflation's hitting you as well. I know that was one thing you mentioned to our producer, Travis, was the impacts of inflation. Governor, that all seems to tie in with something we haven't gotten to yet here, which is the upcoming Governor's Conference on Aging. And I mention that because I know we're short on time.
Yeah, so I share the concern of the caller. This is why, particularly for our career military, in the last session, we now exempt 50% of your income from state income tax. So it's just, you don't have to pay it as long as you're participating in the workforce. There's more we needed to do, particularly with property tax relief. The proposal we're putting forward would give breaks to people in the primary homes for renters and for small businesses through a homestead exemption. It would shift the load to out-of-staters with second homes here. But the particular needs of our aging, we're going to address at our Governor's Conference on Aging. It's going to be held first week of October at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. This is where we bring all concerned parties together. We celebrate those hitting 100 years, but we also talk about the services necessary so these people can still live out a full and fruitful life.
You know, two-thirds of Montana voters are baby boomers, too, which is interesting. Governor, I know we've only got a minute to go here, and we're just now getting to a couple of things you wanted to mention. This youth hunting story contest, such a cool deal, plus your governor's veteran commendation.
Yeah, so if you have a son, grandson, sign them up for the youth hunting story contest. They have to be age 10 to 17. All they need to do is submit a picture of their harvest. Could be a gopher, a duck, a deer, or an elk. It doesn't matter. Youthhunting.mt.gov. We're going to trick them out. And then we're also open for veteran commendations. I did 39 this year, and we're open now. These commendations go to veterans who have served their country well and then come home and served in their communities. If you know somebody, you can nominate them at recognizeveterans.mt.gov.
All right. Well, Governor, I think a young lady won that youth hunt contest last year, if I remember right. Governor, great to hear from you. Thanks for your time.